groups and talk in between groups of these. I became interested in MTV because I think it is the art form in contemporary U.S. society, and indeed now globally, which is the most imaginative in representing how it feels to be in the late 20th century in modernization. It is an art form which regularly challenges presuppositions that we have about the relationship of time and space, about the relationships of women and men, the relationships of self to world. And it's that quality of MTV of questioning the assumptions of the dominant culture that attracted me to it initially, as well as the music. There are many people who understand MTV to be only its misogynist worst aspect. And there is a part of MTV which is really woman-hating. I don't have any videos in this collection which are the extreme of that at all. But I want to acknowledge that it's not known as a riotously feminist medium. But my interest in MTV is that it is a very mixed medium, and there are some socially critical social justice videos that I think are as good as anything that academic ethicists have turned out. One of them I've used here before, it's Aerosmith's video, Janie's Got a Gun, and it's a video on incest. So MTV is dealing with topics that the churches are chicken to deal with, frankly. And we'll see today a couple of examples of that where serious social justice issues are considered in this medium. An MTV video averages about 4 minutes in length, so you aren't going to get a terrifically in-depth discussion of a social issue. But I think it's important to acknowledge that the primary vehicle for shaping youth culture now globally, not just in the US, is attending to issues of social justice because young people are. I was talking with my sister Connie in Seattle. She has three children, the youngest of whom is Molly at the age of 9. And I was asking Peter and Hannah, they're a little older, if they had heard Prince's video, a song called Seven. And my sister Connie was dumbfounded to hear her little daughter Molly at the age of 9 singing along to Prince's video because she wasn't aware that Molly was listening to this music that much too. So we aren't talking about a youth culture that begins at puberty. It's a youth culture, kids who are 4 and 5 years old listen to this even if they don't yet understand it. And that's to take my final comment. Many of the words, if you aren't used to listening to this, will be completely unintelligible. Don't worry about that. We aren't going to take time today to look at all the words. Attend especially to the visuals, if you aren't up to the words, and to the effect of the music itself on you physically as well as emotionally. And the first three videos are all around a theme. These are all current top 20 with a couple of exceptions, or have been in the past couple of months. I should acknowledge that MTV is really the quintessential capitalist medium. With the top 20 rating system, you never run out of new products. You just keep producing new products and new CDs and new tapes, and people keep buying, and the industry is just it would make Marx turn over in his grave. But it's capitalism in its pure form, in some sense. The first three have to do with the Garden of Eden. It intrigues me that this is a metaphor, which is a metaphor in three of the top videos in the course of the past winter. And the first one is called Steam by Peter Gabriel, whose videos are visually some of the most exciting in the whole medium. So think of Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve and see if this is the original version or an alternative video. I assume that if I plays on that image that we have in dominant U.S. culture, that heterosexual marriage is the Garden of Eden. And if it falls apart, that's eviction from the garden. which I think is a very strong image in our culture, but we don't think about it a lot. Any responses to this? Just off the...
Well, I just appreciate that my son is more into rap than the last book. Thank you.
Well, I thought the last one was the best. It was real theological. It addresses the issues. But it was entertaining. I don't like the ones where there's a lot of sex and violence and women bashing. And that's the ones that I find offensive.
Yeah, but that was awful offensive to my ears.
Oh, yeah.
And just the noise of it. And at least the rap has a nice beat to it. Mom, don't you feel the beat? Yeah, dear, I do.
Well, I've never seen these before, so this is really new to me. And visually, it was real annoying and irritating to me. It was better if I closed my eyes and just listened to it. Now, I don't have any idea what that means, but visually, it was, I didn't like it. It was like it was irritating to see all that movement and all that stuff going on and you see what things you. But if I closed my eyes, it was pretty good.
Well, the opposite, I didn't mind the, and I really hadn't watched this. I didn't mind the, I never did like rock and roll music, but I didn't mind the imagery, the visual, that was quite interesting, especially the first one. That was popping out of. I was surprised to find myself kind of enjoying that.
Well, I hate to admit it, but I sort of enjoyed all three of them.
Try to start watching.
Do you know why?
Not really.
Good.
Yeah.
Pardon?
They're just more imaginative and better than this one.
Well,
I just thought of them, they're worse.
There are some really junky ones and some really trashy ones, but actually, nine out of these were in the top 20, just altogether recently. So it's not really an atypical selection lately, but there are dearths of months now and again too. Okay, let's. The next three are a different theme, and this is a theme having to do with how we define what woman is in this culture. And all three of the videos deal with that theme. The first is Madonna. The second is In Excess, and the third is Prince. Prince and the New Generation. I think I might have messed up this VCR by just turning it off, but I'll try. Now, I might need help. That's interesting. I think I don't know what I did here, Prince. Okay. Is there somebody who knows? All I did was stop this, this button.
Something special in it. Always
Madonna, I think she just exploits a lot of things, a lot of attitudes, and just to make money. Her videos to me are always depressing, and they're just trash, I think.
What was she exploiting in this one?
Oh boy, she just kind of promotes like a lifestyle, and she tries to tie it in with things to do with the church, like that man in that video. I'm not sure what he was supposed to symbolize. Death, I think.
What is the storyline of that Madonna video?
Well, I thought she makes being woman weak.
Victim.
Victim. Who is Madonna in this video?
Bad girl.
What?
Prostitute. I mean, she looks like a businesswoman.
Victim.
She's a businesswoman who's a prostitute.
Yeah.
She's a call girl.
Oh God.
But only because she can't find the love she's
all
really
these
seeking,
men.
Right? Well, her motivations are probably very mixed. But part of it is that she also is addicted to the sexuality, which happens with a lot of prostitutes because they are used as girls. Mm-hmm. So, and what happens in the video?
She dies.
Yeah,
she
gets out of it by dying.
She's killed. She's beaten by somebody who's purchasing her service.
Or strangled with the stocking.
Yeah.
But there was a problem issue where at the end, I thought, when you see her watching herself dead, coming out, and then she rises with the man,
mm-hmm,
together on equal.
Mm-hmm. And that's back to her Roman Catholic traditions. Madonna's very clear that the theological issues are part of what she's raising in her videos. And one of the issues here is that, that this video poses, is the doctrine of resurrection sufficient to redeem women from having to sell their bodies in order to survive? One question this video poses, and it's directly related, I think, to the next video. What do women, how do women have, how do we have to sell ourselves in this society in order to be understood as beautiful women?
Thin. Celery and thin.
Yeah, but that's what she makes it look like. Yeah, she's a victim and she's always a weak and it's always someone else making her do something. It's like she has no choice. It's like she's exploited. But she's, I think in real life, she exploits that.
I think
for commercialism.
About Madonna, but we have two different.
Yeah, no, I never liked Madonna. Ever since she started wearing underwear on the outside of her clothes. She never appealed to me.
Well, the clothing issue in the second one, I think is also worth thinking about, that that for a long time, we really capitulated as women to certain, many of us did, to certain male definitions of what constitutes beauty, including high heels. How many of you women still wear them? Anybody ever wear high heels? It's an interesting question for women. It's a really political issue when you put on those heels.
Yeah, but do they do it for men or do they do it for other women?
Well, that's, I think both. But I saw a hand back in the middle here.
I guess in the Madonna one, the lyrics were, I'm unhappy this way, I smoke too many cigarettes, I don't like myself this way. And I think that, I don't know, the whole time she's very glamorous and she, you know, obviously, I don't know, is needing to get something from these men coming to her. But I kept thinking, she has no self in that, you know, get a hobby, you know, or something. Like, she only gardened for something, you know, and something like for herself, from herself, and she just was like this shell, and she knew it, but she didn't have any way to do anything else. And I felt, I mean, I did feel sorry for her, but I think that was a great message. I mean, I didn't
make a choice.
I have several friends who were seriously sexually abused when they were little girls by their fathers, who for a while were into prostitution, not because they needed it financially so much, although that was important, but because they were trying to work out their hatred of their own body sexually. So it's a deep conflict between choice and not choice there. Between being victim and being agent. I think you highlighted that there's enough of an agent left to be in pain, but not enough to get out. And for some women, resurrection, death and resurrection is the only out. So we can't just say that that old style theology is completely bad, because if it's the only hope, you might not want to get rid of it either. I'm going to play three in the sequence now that are a different interpretation of what women are. The first is the Prince number 7, that's the title of it, is 7. And then Whitney Houston is a very interesting song, I Am Every Woman. And then En Vogue's Give It Up.
Give it up.
And then there will be two after this set.
To smoke them all with an intellect and a savoir faire. No one in the whole universe will ever compare. I am yours now and you are mine, and together we'll love through all space and time, so don't cry. One day all 7 will die. Words of compassion, words of
More pleasant.
Yeah. And what makes them that? For
because
your experience?
I believe that in the last tour with these black women, that they love them, their bodies, and they are celebrating sexuality or sex. And where Madonna was the victim, and in the white pietistic sense, they are in the natural, celebrating what God has given them. You know, that's attractive to me.
Responses?
I don't know. The last one, I mean, I hardly ever get this the first time, so I mean, I need to.
No,
but they're saying about give it up, and but they're still in the beauty parlor,
mm-hmm.
putting it all on. So I guess maybe I missed the point in that.
What do you make of that? Who's setting what standards in that last video? And who's doing what with those standards?
The women.
Okay, so who's setting the standards in the first place?
But the women. The Vogue. I mean,
you know. Or Vogue. Oh,
yeah,
and
the magazine.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. in its images from 1950, you know, when they were really trying to fill the white image of beauty. And even the white image of beauty was so ugly there, you know? It was a real, it was real, it was saying one thing, but it was showing something else, which was really confusing and unsettling in my mind.
Is there anyone who has a different view of that, the role of Vogue and the visual image of what beauty was in that video? It seems, I thought too, that it was the white male created image of female beauty, which applies to both white women and to black women then, in the 50s. Were they simply agreeing to that?
No. They seemed to twist it around and make it something that were empowering them. And so here they were in the beauty shop doing everything, but the message they were saying is, you know, girl, that guy's not worth your time. Give it up. But they're still doing all the rest. It's more that they were pursuing that beauty as a way to empower themselves, which is an odd twist, I think.
It's also an odd twist that makes more sense because it's done in 1993 using 1950s. It's another layer of critique of what was going on in the 50s, so that women in the 50s couldn't do that. Subverted at the same time, but women in the 90s can look back and adopt something with this ironic distance. So it is women as agents now, but not, which women couldn't be in the 50s, or chose not to be.
Maybe that's why it was attractive to me, because it is what I wanted to be when I was 21, and wasn't, and can be now, but my body doesn't go quite along with it. But the spirit is there.
I wanted to say something about that Whitney Houston one. I found that offensive. I thought that was portrayed women as sexual objects. I liked the last one. I thought it had a good message, but I didn't care for that one at all. And I find it offensive that those two first ones use children, especially little girls dressed up in skinny costumes.
You raised an interesting question about the video. What is it possible for women to become the agents of our own sexuality without falling back into the stereotypical notions of our sexuality? Is it possible for us to enjoy it and to say it's natural for us? And this is, unfortunately, MTV is about as heterosexual a medium as you can find on planet Earth. And so the whole thing is premised on male-female heterosexuality, which is in the Whitney Houston video, except that it's an all-women video, which is stunningly unusual. So it raises some questions of lesbian identity as well in that video. But by and large, you're pointing to something that's there.
Well, the words are satisfying. I'm natural, I can give you what you want, this type
of crap. Isn't that
true? To me, that's a bad message.
Well, small group work, you can pursue that with the end. I just heard some other reaction that indicates we don't have unanimity on that one.
Yeah.
Well, I was wondering about that video, and I was wondering, you know, on everything she was singing, and I was thinking, well, do women really want to be that? Well, so often it's someone saying that to a man or a man saying that to a woman, and it kind of dawned on me towards the end that this was an all-woman video. Could Whitney Houston, could the song be kind of this, with the chorus and everything, be singing about some type of female spirit that, and they're singing to women, that I'm every woman and I can give you what you need to individual women. I wasn't sure, I was trying to figure that out, and I don't know what the one word she repeated twice at the end was. And what that.
I thought it was kind of funny because I think, I don't know how common knowledge it is, but Whitney Houston is supposedly a known lesbian. Mm-hmm. And in this video, I don't, it kind of sounded like sort of a joke. Maybe kind of a joke, you know, it's kind of, I mean, there's two very common sort of jokes. One is that Michael Jackson is dating Brooke Shields, and the other one is that Whitney Houston is, you know, is heterosexual. And when you look at those videos and you know what the reality is, it's I don't know, it's kind of, it seemed like on the one hand she was being very serious as a woman's video, but when you look at it from a heterosexual perspective, you read other stuff into it and it's kind of tricky.
Yeah. I think it might be one of the few lesbian videos that's on MTV, period. But I don't think it's the majority. I think you're right, it's not majority. Right.
I have a question. I thought Whitney Houston was married to Bobby Brown.
So?
So you're saying she's a known lesbian?
I don't think you can take marital status as indicative in this culture.
Right. The
vast majority of gay men are married to
rock stars.
She did just have a baby, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a baby.
Yeah, I know. That's not
just to
saying.
Clarify, I think she did just have a baby. She's
right.
She had a baby. Yeah. But women have babies when they're lesbian.
I like that song better if she's singing to women than I like it if she's singing to men. I mean, like you said.
I would rather that we can be supportive of one another than I can fill every man's or child's needs.
Well, you're not going to be able to fill anybody else's needs. It doesn't matter what sex they are, sexually, or, you know, that's just, it doesn't have a good message for me either way.
Well, my question is, when she said I, if she's every
happy
woman and she says I don't think she means her personally. I think every woman can feel, you know, every need. I don't mean that every single woman can do it, but, you know, as a group, you know, there are different women can do different things.
Yeah.
In terms of, it seems like she was kind of putting down the inadequacy of women.
Mm-hmm. So the I is definitely plural in that title. Yes. There's only two left. What time is it? I want to double check this.
12:00.
Okay.
Could we hear some comments first about the Prince one?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Thanks. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to comment.
Very good.
I mean, the message of women there was real clear to me, but the message of the video was not clear to me.
What do you think that video is about? He's talking about a future generation. Mm-hmm. He's talking about, I don't understand it totally, that's all I got from it. It was about power that future generation can have.
Right.
I saw the little boys and girls together. It looked like bringing them together. He's trying to, oh, God, that's all I can say right now.
That kind of reminded me.
I had a negative thing at the beginning when I was watching the video, but I for some reason, was left with a positive thing about the future, the city, the golden city.
I kept trying to figure out what the seven was, and the first thing I kept thinking was the seven deadly sins, and that just didn't work through the whole thing. And now you just said that, I thought, what is unto the seventh generation, the sins of our fathers, something, are going to be brought unto the seventh generation, and then there's like this golden city, and there shall be no more death, and there's this golden road, and trees look, and it's like a, when the, and there's all those seven dead white guys falling down, or whatever, and then,
six?
Okay, so then the seventh generation who would be these little kids, and they don't have to have the sins of their whatever. I don't know.
Isn't there also a tradition in Native American cultures of whatever decisions you make, you think of how that will impact the seventh generation?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do all these seven symbols in the Golden City and such bring anything to mind out of your religious tradition?
Revelation.
A lot of this is the symbolism out of the Book of Revelations, and it's the metaphor of, every time I see this video, I just love it more and more because it's so densely rich in the symbolism. It's part of what the lyrics are about is moving from a militarized understanding of power to this power as love and compassion. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons you have to get rid of the older generation, because it uses violent power, and this new vision is the power of love and compassion. And the part that's I just think brilliant in this video is the smoking image, which is the gun image to kill off the six, but then it's immediately contradicted, because it's not killing off with weapons, again, it's killing off with intellect and savoir-faire. Mm-hmm. This is a completely different understanding of power that the new generation will have.
And you'll come down with the dove, you'll come down with the dove, and mm-hmm. the women are dressed with,
I'm not sure I like particularly the image of women again as sort of the savior coming in from the pedestal, but it's not all something I agree with necessarily in symbols, but I think it's very provocative. In addition, if you listen to this two times, you are unable to get this out of your head. It's a tremendously catchy melody. Well, let's look at the last two, which I think, to be fair, since I don't want to give the impression that MTV is only intriguing social justice commentary and all sorts of theological input. The last two are, I like them immensely, but they're very different. This next one you can take either straightforwardly or ironically, and it's totally up to you. And it also is a fairly popular one on mainline MTV, and it's called I Like Big Butts. That's not exactly the title, but that's what I call it. Baby's Got That, by Sir Mix-a-Lot. And it is a wonderful commentary on sexism and racism, if you can open your interpretation category that way. And then the last one is my absolute favorite, and it's on late night MTV. And I like it because in many of these you've seen a visual expression of what affects a lot of people these days, the sense that our bodies are fragmented parts. And I think we get that a lot from going to the medical profession, where we're treated as an arm or a head or whatever. But culture in general tends to fragment people. And the last video is by a group called King Missile, which you'll see the significance in a second. And it's called Detachable Penis. Wow. And I love it because it's the first time I've seen on MTV men treating the male body as women's bodies have been treated, as the separable parts. Actually, it's the second time I've seen it on MTV, because the first time was the first video we saw, Peter Gabriel Steen. So these are the last two, and then we'll have a few minutes for a conversation. But these are fun.
They only talk to her because she looks like a total prostitute, okay? I mean, her butt is just so thick. I can't believe it's just so round. It's like out there. I mean, look. She's just so flat.
I like big butts and I can't lie. I'm the brother tonight. I want to walk through with anybody. Average groovy. I see him dancing. To hell with romance. And she's sweat, wet. Got it going like a turbo vet. Tired of magazines. Send flat butts on the thing. And the average black man and ass too black. She got a pack much back. So fellas,
yeah.
Fellas,
yeah.
Your girlfriend got your butt.
Hell yeah.
Shake it, shake it, shake it, shake it, shake, shake, it. Shake that healthy butt. Baby got bad light. Real thick and juicy, so find that juicy double. Mix a lot in trouble, big and small piece of that bubble. So I'm looking at rock videos, not gonna need bimbos walking like hoes. You can have them bimbos, I'll keep my women like Blojo. A word to the thick soul sisters, I wanna get with ya. I won't cuss or hit ya, but I gotta be straight when I say I wanna. Come on, baby, get it going on. A lot of sis won't let it soar. I'm getting punks like the hit and quit it, and I'd rather stay and play. Long and I'm strong and I'm down to get the friction on. So ladies,
yeah.
Ladies,
yeah.
If you wanna roll my Mercedes,
yeah.
Turn around, check it out. Even white boys got to shout. Baby got fat.
Get me in trouble, or I can reach out when I don't need it.
But now and then I go to a party, get drunk, and the next morning I can't, for the life of me, remember what I did with it. I looked around my apartment and I couldn't find it. So I called up the place where the party was. They hadn't seen it either. The medicine cabinet, because for some reason I leave it there sometimes, but not this time. So I told them if it pops up to let me know. A few people were at the party, but they were no help either. I'm starting to get desperate. I really don't like being without my penis for too long. It makes me feel like less of a man. And I really hate having to sit down every time I do. There's 2 hours of search in the house. And I'm calling everyone I could think of. I was starting to get very depressed, so I went to the Kia and ate breakfast. Second Avenue toward St. Mark's Place, where all those people sell used books and other junk on the street. I saw my penis lying on a blanket next to a broken toaster oven. Somebody was standing there and I had to buy it off him. He wanted $22, but I talked him down to 17. I took it home, washed it off, and put it back on. I was happy again, complete. People sometimes tell me I should get it permanently attached, but I don't know. Even though sometimes it's a pain in the ass, I like having a detachable penis.
Evocative imagery. In this, we just watched this nerdy guy. You know, and there was not really a turnabout. What?
There was a sausage in our plate.
Yeah.
I also think, though, all those images of buns in the first video look more like testicles than they did buns. You know, they were saying buns.
Suggesting more ambiguity than we usually like to think about.
Yeah.
Any other responses to these last two?
Well, I would like them portrayed on TV back to back, you know? So if I'm walking through the room, I can say to my son,